Book of Habakkuk. I'll give you some extra time to find that one. All right, it's small. It may have been a while since you've been there, but they're in the Minor Prophets, just before the New Testament. A few books before the New Testament, you'll find the prophet Habakkuk. And Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 5 will be our text for this evening. But to sort of set the stage for this, I want to read a portion of the passage that Pastor Steve preached from this morning, because the impetus for this message this evening comes from what we heard this morning. So here again, a portion of Galatians chapter 3, and you can listen as you are there in Habakkuk, and then I'll come meet you in Habakkuk in just a moment. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, Father, we thank you that you have revealed the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to us, and that you have preserved it in your word. We thank you, Father, that it is by faith in him that we are made right with you. We thank you that in Christ alone we stand. That in Christ alone we are those who are righteous before you. Not because of ourselves, but because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that this gospel is the gospel that was preached to Abraham. Salvation through faith. Thank you that this gospel is preserved in the prophet Habakkuk. I thank you that this gospel is explained in the writings of Paul and other apostles. And Father, I pray that as we consider the voice from 2,600 years ago, God, I pray that we would be encouraged to stand on Christ alone. I pray that we would be encouraged by your faithfulness to protect, and provide eternal life with you for all of those who are in Christ. Father, I pray that you would use your word to accomplish these things for your glory this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I prayed and as we read, Paul writes something very interesting in Galatians 3. He says there in verse 8 that the scripture preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. All the way back with Father Abraham, the gospel was proclaimed. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The promise that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And of course, this good news finds its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Paul's defense of this issue of being saved by grace through faith alone and not by works of the law, Paul quotes a number of Old Testament passages to make his case. And one of the voices that he calls on in his defense is the prophet Habakkuk. In our passage that will be our focus for this evening, Habakkuk 2, Paul finds an ally in this defense of the gospel of the grace of God. So I want us to consider this evening, briefly, is the verse that Paul quotes from Habakkuk, is it just a nice verse, a good memory verse that you can write on an index card and put on your bathroom mirror or on your car dashboard and memorize it as a reminder of how it is that God works? Or is there something more that God wants to and can say to us through this ancient voice? If God spoke the gospel to Abraham, maybe he also spoke it through Habakkuk. And a scripture reading that Pastor Steve read for us earlier indicates that indeed this is the case. For Jesus opened to them, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, the things concerning himself. And what Habakkuk says here finds its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. So hear with me the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he has never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own peoples. Behold, again verse 4, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Now we're picking up in Habakkuk sort of in midstream. So it would be helpful for us to understand what Habakkuk has been doing ahead of this, to understand really what he means in these verses and how there is a word of hope for us as New Testament believers. You see, Habakkuk was a prophet towards the end of the kingdom of Judah. You remember the story of Israel, God's chosen people. He established them, took them out of Egypt, put them in the land, and eventually gave them the king that they requested, who was no good. Then he gave them his king, King David. Well, under the reign of Solomon, David's son, the kingdom splits in two. You have the northern kingdom, Israel, the southern kingdom, Judah. The story of Israel is one of bad king after bad king after bad king. The king was to lead the people to the Lord. The kings of Israel led the people away from the Lord without fail. So that in 722 BC, the nation of Israel is conquered by Assyria and taken off into slavery. Well, in the meantime, the southern nation of Judah has a variety of kings. Some of them are very faithful. Others of them follow in the ways of the kings of Israel, completely unfaithful. Habakkuk was a prophet towards the end of the kingdom of Judah, and he had the unique vantage point of seeing a very faithful king, Josiah, who led his nation in reforms, led the nation back to worshiping the one true and living God. But he also had the unfortunate experience of seeing those kings who reigned after Josiah, kings that led the nation of Judah again away from the Lord to a point in which some 20 years after these events in Habakkuk, the nation of Judah is taken off into slavery. So Habakkuk stands at an interesting time in the life of Judah, seeing this good king and the good accomplishments that he was able to put in place to lead the people back to the Lord. But then Josiah dies, and the wicked kings take their places, and righteousness is not upheld. Righteousness is punished. Unrighteousness is the name of the day. And Habakkuk, in his book, is asking the question, why? Why is this the case, and why does it seem that you, God, are not doing anything about it? Why? Where are you? So Habakkuk, in the first two chapters, asks two primary questions. The first is, how long? How long is it that wickedness will prevail in the land? How long will the righteous, those who are faithful, how long will they be oppressed by the ruling wickedness? And God answers Habakkuk. And he says, I'm raising up someone. I'm raising up a people to address this issue. Wickedness will not reign forever. The king and those who follow after him will be punished. But the catch is that they will be punished by a wicked nation. They will be punished by the Babylonians. Well, this brings Habakkuk no relief. How can it be that you're going to use the super wicked to punish the less wicked? This doesn't make any sense either. And more than that, what about the righteous who are still suffering? Will they be swept up in this punishment? Do you ever feel like, as you are living day to day, week to week, do you ever feel like wickedness prevails? Do you ever feel like justice is not being served? In your case, in the case around you, this was Habakkuk's concern. Righteousness wasn't being upheld. What was God going to do about it? And God gives the second answer to Habakkuk that we have read. And there is a real word of hope for us here this evening. Notice what God tells Habakkuk. He says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. What does that mean? God is telling Habakkuk, I'm going to give you my response. I'm going to give you my vision, and here's what you need to do. You need to take it and write it down for this reason, so that the righteous can take it up and can read it, so that they can live their lives in accordance with what I am saying I am going to do. Hear my word, write it down so that the faithful can have it and live in accordance with it. What I say I will do, I will accomplish. For the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Here is what the righteous are to do in light of the coming punishment. They are to hear the voice of hope. They are to understand. They are to order their lives according to it. And they are to patiently wait. It will not delay, even though it seems that it is long to come. At its appointed time, the time that the Lord appoints, he will fulfill what he says that he will do. And so, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. That is, the wicked, his soul is puffed up. He finds his righteousness, his worth, his value in himself, in what he does, in his oppressing of others. He is proud of himself. The righteous, they are not like that. Their hope is not found in themselves. Their hope is found in someone else who will accomplish this vision that he is giving. Their soul is not puffed up. So how will the righteous survive the coming judgment? The righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God has revealed. This is why God tells Habakkuk, write it down, because this is where they must put their hope. In what I am telling them, I will do. Where was Abraham's hope? Abraham's hope was not in a fuzzy feeling that he had. Abraham's hope was in what God had revealed, that he would have a son, and that this son, through this son, all the nations would be blessed. His hope was in the objective, revealed word of God. So it is for the righteous in Habakkuk's day. Their hope is not ultimately in a change of their temporal circumstances. Their hope is in God's revealed word, what he has said he will do. For us, what has God revealed? What has he promised to do? We see from Habakkuk a few ways, directly from Habakkuk, and then some areas that are fleshed out in the New Testament, by which we are to place our hope in what God has revealed, in what he has said he will do. For Habakkuk and for us, our hope must be in that God is in control, no matter what the circumstances may suggest. For Habakkuk, when he looked at Judah, it didn't look like God was in control. The nation was in disarray. But God's word to Habakkuk is, I've got my hand on this. I'm going to accomplish what I intend to accomplish. So it is for us today. When you look at your own life and things seem that they are in disarray, when it seems that you are being unfairly treated in the workplace or by a family member, when you read the newspaper and it seems that goodness is not being upheld, but wickedness and selfishness and pride and so forth, that these are the ordering principles of the day. Like Habakkuk, the thing that we must remember is that God is still in control, despite what the circumstances may suggest. Also, God tells Habakkuk that he will punish wickedness. Wickedness seems to be ruling, but it will not always rule. It will have its day when it is punished. And so it is for us. We know that there is coming a day when the wickedness that we experience, the oppression under which we struggle, there is coming a day when this will too be punished by God for all eternity. And this must be our hope, that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Not that we can accomplish our vengeance, but that the Lord will punish wickedness for all eternity. Habakkuk says, the righteous shall live by his faith. The righteous will survive this coming judgment by placing his faith firmly in the Lord. And the Lord will keep him through. We will escape God's wrath by having our faith firmly grounded in what God has revealed. We will escape the coming wrath by having our faith firmly grounded in what God has revealed. And what has God revealed? The writer of the Hebrews puts it like this in the opening verses. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. God revealed some things through the prophets, but he has revealed himself most specifically and most clearly in his Son. For those in Habakkuk's day, their hope was to be in what God had revealed then. Our hope is to be today in what God has revealed. And what has he revealed? He has revealed his Son. And his Son is to be the object of our faith. This is what Jesus is fleshing out in Luke 24. Habakkuk didn't have a different gospel. Habakkuk and Abraham and the other faithful of the Old Testament did not have a different gospel. Their hope was to be in what God had revealed. What we have is we have a more defined gospel, a more clearly laid out gospel. Because God, through the Apostle Paul and the other New Testament writers, has explained to us what he has done. And so this is to what we are to give our attention, to what he has revealed. Like Habakkuk, the righteous will live by his faith in what God has revealed. This is what the Apostle Paul confirms in Romans 5. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Paul looks back and looks forward. If our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been reconciled to him while we were enemies, how much more will we be saved by the coming wrath on wickedness now that we have been made right with him? Surely he will do it. This is where our hope is to lie. God will finally and fully establish his good reign at the coming of Christ. While we wait, this must be our hope. James 5 puts it this way. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has revealed that he is sending his Son back. The righteous will live by their faith in what God has revealed. And this is where our faith is to be placed. In Christ crucified and resurrected on our behalf, but also in Christ coming again for his people. And then good will be finally and fully established. Brothers and sisters, while we wait, we will struggle under the weight of our own sin. We will struggle under the weight of the sin of those around us and as it affects us and rears its ugly head against us. But the righteous, those who are in Christ, will live by their faith. Their faith that God sees them, their faith that God is keeping them, and their faith that God will establish his good reign in the end. I'm going to go ahead and ask the ushers to make their way forward. And as they do, I want to read one of the verses from the song that the musicians are going to play for us. Because this sums up this idea of waiting with hope in the Lord in this life while things are hard. Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin would reduce me to utter despair, but through thy free goodness, my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. That you have not only made us right with you, those who claim Christ by faith, but Father, we have the certain hope that what you have revealed will be fulfilled, that you will send the Lord Jesus back This will not tarry, that this will not delay, even though it seems that it's taking forever. That there is coming a day when you will send the Lord Jesus back and make everything right. Father, sustain us in this hope, in this life, for your glory. And Father, as we take up our offering now, it is our prayer that you would use these gifts that are given to advance the proclamation of this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and glorified. Father, we thank you for the gospel and we praise you for it. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen.